Hello and welcome to this edition of Ox Talk, your Oxfordshire speaking news service, this Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2024. Sunrise is at 6:09 a.m. and sunset is at 6:15 p.m. The weather this week will be mostly cloudy, with the occasional burst of rain, with temperatures between 10 and 15 degrees. We will get some sunshine over the weekend, but that will bring cooler temperatures of 9 to 4 degrees. This week's readers are Jill Jones and Elizabeth Dale, and I am your technical officer, James Cull.
What follows is a notice from Guide Dogs for the Blind. On Thursday, the 28th of March, Guide Dogs for the Blind are holding a coffee morning at the Western Library, Broad Street, Oxford, from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. This is an opportunity for you to socialise and meet up with friends. Everyone is welcome.
The fifth generation Mini Cooper began production on Monday, March the 11th at the Mini Plant on the Oxford Bypass in Cowley. Associates at Mini Plant Oxford were joined by head of Mini, Stephanie Wurst, for a special on-site event. The first three-door model was driven off the production line by Charlie Cooper, grandson of John Cooper, whose heritage inspired the Cooper moniker. It is the latest generation to be built in the UK, with all three BMW Group UK manufacturing sites contributing to production. The plant in Swindon produces body pressings and sub-assemblies, while the three- and four-cylinder petrol engines are built at the plant at Hams Hall in North Warwickshire. These parts come together at Mini Plant Oxford, where body shell production, paint and final assembly takes place. Commenting on the start of production, Stephanie Wurst, head of Mini, said, "This milestone underscores the commitment to our roots while propelling us to a dynamic future of driving." Plant Oxford is the heart of the Mini brand, and today, as we witness the birth of this new chapter, we renew our pledge to craftsmanship and the thrill of motoring. Announced last month, the new Mini Cooper is the third addition to the new Mini lineup, alongside the Mini Cooper Electric and the new Mini Countryman. The model's exterior silhouette features clear surfaces, short overhangs, and a compact bonnet, which combined with a contrasting long wheelbase achieves the typical Mini proportions. Moving inside, the interior is minimalistic, with the entire cockpit focused on just three elements: a circular OLED display, the new Veskin steering wheel, and the toggle bar. It's available in two model variants, which include the Mini Cooper C and performance-enhanced Mini Cooper S. The new Mini Cooper will be priced from £22,300, with first customer deliveries in spring 2024. Dr. Marcus Gruneisel, head of plants Oxford and Swindon, said, "We're delighted to welcome the new Mini Cooper to our lines in both Oxford and Swindon. The new Mini Cooper is an incredibly important car for our team and UK manufacturing. We're proud to produce this iconic car loved all over the world." BMW agreed to redevelop the entire Cowley plant in 2000, demolishing much of the factory to create the new Plant Oxford factory. The location has been producing the new Mini, built by BMW since May 2001, and is the largest industrial employer in Oxfordshire. Since the launch of the first modern Mini, over 4.4 million Minis have been produced in Britain.
The final episode of the Oxford set Endeavour was broadcast on television this time last year on March the 12th, 2023, and was watched by millions of viewers across the country. The crime drama ran for 9 seasons on ITV since its first episode on January the 2nd, 2012, and was a prequel to the popular detective shows Morse and Lewis. Starring Sean Evans as Inspector Morse, the story covered his rise in the detective world, with lots of filming taking place in and around Oxford. With the first anniversary of Endeavour's conclusion, we at the Oxford Mail decided to take a look at what each cast member has been up to recently. Sean Evans, Endeavour Morse. Fast forward 1 year from Endeavour's end, and the star Sean Evans will still be leading an ITV crime drama series. The 44-year-old actor will star in Until I Kill You, alongside Line of Duty and Motherland star Anna Maxwell Martin later this year. The series, which was in production under the working title of Delia Barmer, will explore the story of Delia, who survived a near-fatal relationship with the murderer John Sweeney. Having played on one side of the law with Endeavour, Evans will now try his hand on the wrong side by playing Sweeney with the four-part series set to air on ITV1 and ITVX. Mr. Evans said, "I've previously worked with World Productions and ITV separately, so I'm looking forward to joining forces to tell this story. A story that is quite rightly told through the victim's lens, Delia." Roger Allam, Fred Thursday. Starring as Endeavour's boss, Fred Thursday, throughout the ITV hit show, Roger Allam's police boss became a familiar face on our screens. He most recently starred in the hit London play Frank and Percy, alongside acting veteran Sir Ian McKellen. The performance proved so popular that the show was extended by a further 2 weeks last autumn to accommodate the demand. And Frank and Percy ran until Sunday, December the 17th, 2023, at the Other Place in London. Abigail Thor, Dorothea Frazil. The real-life daughter of John Thor, who played Inspector Morse in the original series, Abigail joined the Endeavour ranks as investigative journalist Dorothea Frazil. With family connections to the Morse universe, starring in the latest addition to the overarching story meant a lot to the actress. She, like Roger Allam, also recently took to the stage with a supporting performance in Lauren Gunderson's Anthropology. The play was a thriller about a Silicon Valley software engineer who creates an AI version of her lost sister running at the Hampstead Theatre throughout last autumn.
Nervous dogs could soon have a place to run free following the submission of plans for a new dog walking park. The development would lie across approximately 0.8 hectares of agricultural land in Oxfordshire to the west of B4017 at Henwood. A secure field would mean that land is enclosed, with a 1.8 to 2 metre high post and wire fence enabling dogs to be taken off the lead without worry of them running away. The proposals were submitted to the Vale of Whitehorse District Council on March the 6th for the grass field opposite Whitehill Farm. Applicant Andrew Farrant, from a family farm, writes in his planning statement, "This secure field will appeal to dog owners who have dogs which have poor recall, may be nervous or may be puppy training, away from other dogs and distractions. The field will be a valuable addition to the dog walking community set in this village opposite a working farm and is easily accessible to the dog walking community in and around Henwood and Wootton. Customers would need to make a prior booking for use of the field, with the system enabling up to 8 dogs in the same hour to share the facility." But the statement adds, "It's typically seen that 1 or 2 dogs will attend, therefore use is limited and will remain at a very low density. No permanent development on the site is proposed for the site, which will remain unchanged as an agricultural hayfield and cut for hay during summer months if suitable crop grows. The site is listed as currently a grass field that was apparently cut for hay in 2023. Sessions would be booked for 55 minutes in any 1 hour, with a 5-minute window between customer sessions to avoid crossover in the field. A dog waste bin will be provided for facility users and emptied as part of the maintenance schedule, along with regular checks of the field cleanliness. The proposed location is conveniently on a bus route with a bus stop directly next to the field. This will apparently enable users to avoid using cars to access this service, with buses like the number 33 connecting from Oxford and Abingdon. Walking time to surrounding vehicles include 1 minute to Henwood, 10 minutes to Boars Hill, and 25 minutes to Cumnor. Mr. Farrant concludes, "This service provides a secure dog walking facility for local residents so they can enjoy the outdoor experiences with the dog whilst benefiting from physical and mental well-being during the time at this facility and choosing to either share the experience or to have time alone with their dog."
Work has been completed on a new building providing accommodation to Oxford Brookes University students in New Marston, Oxford. Morgan Sindall Construction has finished the Elm Building, providing a sustainable home for 98 students. It is a part of the university's Clive Booth Student Village redevelopment, offering 515 new ensuite rooms. The Elm Building will be handed over to the university ahead of the second semester of the current academic year. The Elm Building is one of four within the first phase of the redevelopment project, aiming to provide more residential space for the next academic year. The university has collaborated with RAW, an Oxford-based social enterprise specialising in producing indoor and outdoor furnishings, and architects Mika. 70% of RAW's workforce are individuals who have overcome personal setbacks such as addiction, mental health issues and criminal records. RAW's range of 300 products are designed from 100% recycled material, reflecting RAW's commitment to providing sustainable, stylish and durable options for its customers. In the communal kitchen areas are RAW 300 range benches and tables made of 100% recycled domestic appliances. The company's recycling service contributed further to the project's sustainability by repurposing 50% of off-cut construction waste from the Morgan Sindall building site. Steve Vaux, operations director for Morgan Sindall Construction, said, "The redevelopment of Clive Booth Student Village was created to make a sustainable and social home from home for students, so RAW was a natural fit when it came to furnishing the interior. It's great to work with such an inspirational social enterprise, which has a profound social impact in the immediate area. The furniture is exceptional, and we can't wait for the students to enjoy it." Mark Tugwell, Deputy Director of Estates and Campus Services at Oxford Brookes University, said, "We partnered with RAW because of their high-quality furniture, commitment to sustainably sourced materials, and inspirational social impact, which continues to change lives. For a project as important as the redevelopment of Clive Booth Student Village, we are ensuring that the living spaces for our students are of the highest quality. RAW worked closely with us to ensure their final product met this standard, and I am sure that students will love the furniture and the fact that it is made out of old domestic appliances." Rick Mower, the managing director of RAW, said, "The commitment from Morgan Sindall and the team at Oxford Brookes University to truly embed social and sustainable value at scale has been inspiring. At RAW, we set out to prove, by the quality of our products and services, that a person's past doesn't define them, and this project has been the perfect platform to do just that."
Cotswold business owners have called out a letter which claims day trippers from Birmingham just want a cheap day out, paddling in the river and having picnics, and leave rubbish all over the village green. Boughton-on-the-Water Parish Council voted last week to consider calling for a ban on touring coaches entering the picturesque village. They say this is needed due to the chaos caused by the ongoing lack of dedicated coach parking spaces in Boughton. Parish councillors stress they're not anti-coaches, but the traffic regulation orders are needed to improve traffic flow in the absence of safe parking. Villagers complain it's become a free-for-all since December the 31st, when privately owned Hacklings Car Park in Station Road ceased taking coaches. Several small business owners spoke out at the parish council meeting last week and said their livelihoods would be at risk if coaches were banned from the village. John McCabe asked about a document authored by a former parish councillor which was published by the council. He asked during the public session on March the 6th if it was officially commissioned by the council. The paper appears to contain the author's views with various personal perspectives, Miss McCabe said. North American visitors who did spend have been replaced by Asian visitors who don't. Says who? Visitors from Birmingham and the Midlands just want a cheap day out, with children and an array of dogs. Says who? The loss or reduced number of large coaches expected in 2024 will make a minor impact as more of the visitors are arriving by car and minibuses. Says who? The mix is changing from spenders to cheap days out. Says who? The letter also said adult visitors paddle in the river and picnics. Takeaways and drinks are consumed all over the village green and the rubbish left behind. Mr. McCabe told the meeting that the paper could not be used in decision making. Only credible facts should be considered, given the gravity of the situation where people's livelihoods are at stake. His words were met with a round of applause from the packed public gallery. Chairman Andy Roberts told the meeting that the letter was not commissioned by the council, but that it had come as correspondence. In view of some of the tone, it was withdrawn from discussion of this meeting, he said. The parish council approved a proposal for its highways committee to consider the best way forward later this month. Their proposals would then be considered by the council in April. This may include a request for the use of permanent or emergency TROs, or a combination of both, given the urgency of the need to manage coach movements. Any final decision would be subject to a full public consultation and would need to be implemented by the Highways Authority, Gloucestershire County Council.
Three family-run breweries are teaming up to produce new beers as they jointly celebrate their 175th anniversaries. The partnership between Hook Norton Brewery in West Oxfordshire, Everard's in Leicester, and Joseph Holt in Manchester will see the creation of a trio of ales in March, May and September, each infused with hops from Charles Farram. Hook Norton, founded in 1849 by John Harris, has been run by five generations of the same family. With Managing Director James Clark, the great-great-grandson of John Harris, at the helm, they still make use of original machinery in their Victorian Tower Brewery and uphold their traditional practices, including the Shire horses and dray brew deliveries. Mr. Clark said, "Whilst we have collaborated with other breweries before, working with our fellow family breweries, who are also celebrating 175 years of beer and brewing, makes these three beers extra special, and we are very excited to get brewing. The first of the three beers, Tower Ale, will be brewed at Hook Norton Brewery with the helping hands of brewers from Everard's and Joseph Holt's. The beer has a light amber colour with floral, passion fruit and grapefruit scents and notes of sweet toffee and a light fruity finish," Hook Norton Brewery said. "Enjoy this unique ale in the best, most enjoyable environment, your local pub with friends and family. Taste tradition with a modern twist." As for the hops used, brewer Andy Thomas said, "We are very excited to be using Olicana in our special one-off 175 beer. We have used Olicana before and loved brewing with it for its tropical and floral notes. This variety, in our eyes, is on another level. We've combined it with Goldings, the UK's oldest variety, and Fuggles, a mainstay of our hooky beers over the years. It's great to continue our long-standing association with Charles Farram." Charles Farram has been a hop supplier for more than 150 years and has one of the largest range of hop varieties available from stock in both nitrogen-flushed leaf hops and Type 90 pellets. It uses hop varieties from the UK, Belgium, the Czech Republic, France, Germany, Poland, Slovenia, New Zealand and the USA. Their own varieties include Archer, Godiva, Harlequin, Jester, Minstrel, Mystic, Opus and, of course, Olicana. Olicana made its commercial debut in 2014 and is a sister of Jester and a daughter of Cascade. The limited edition Tower Ale will be available on the bar at the brewery and across Hook Norton pubs in Oxfordshire, Gloucestershire, Northamptonshire, Warwickshire and Worcestershire, as well as through Everard's and Joseph Holt's outlets.
A frustrated shopkeeper said it almost killed his business after the council unexpectedly installed 8 new bicycle racks directly in front of his shop. The new racks went up without warning in front of Mary and Martin's newsagents on Woodstock Heights High Street last week. It's now impossible for vehicles to stop temporarily on the double yellow line outside the shop to make deliveries and collections, and anyone who wants to pop into the shop has to park elsewhere. The owners say the bike racks have severely compromised their ability to keep running the business. Mr. Kumar said, "We have 10 kilogram bundles of newspapers delivered every day, as well as drinks and other stock items, and we have daily parcel collections. These bike racks appeared last week. No one consulted us. No one said, this is what we're doing. It's very inconsiderate. I open every day at 5:30 a.m. We used to get 30 people in here first thing, going to the co-op and coming here for a paper. Now we have no passing trade. People don't want to go into the car park. At 5:30 in the morning, they just want to stop the car and get the paper on the way to work. Anyway, they can't park in the car park because it's full of householders and there are double yellow lines everywhere else." He added, "This building has been here for 200 years. All the deliveries have to go through the front door and there's no room to do anything on the pavement." Neighbour Andrew Hennell, who has owned Antiques of Woodstock in the marketplace since 1996, said he fully supported Mr. Kumar. "This is a typical example of what should be a good idea, to discourage car users in favour of less polluting bicycles, being ill thought out with zero consideration given to the impact on this local business," he said. "They did a ridiculous parking consultation in Woodstock, which didn't indicate anything about cycling. There are numerous locations in the centre of Woodstock where bicycle racks could have been located that would not affect the ability of retailers to continue to operate their businesses. I've been here for 28 years and I've never witnessed anyone over a certain age turning up on a bicycle to collect their newspaper, let alone 8 at the same time. I have, however, seen numbers of bicycles propped up on benches on the market square, outside the Star Pub or outside my shop. Why they would place 8 bike racks right outside the newsagent as opposed to the place where people usually dump bikes is beyond me." Oxfordshire County Council said it has now agreed to remove 2 of the stands, which will help the business load and unload, but still retain a good amount of cycle parking in this area. A spokesperson said, "We've liaised with the business and they're happy with the outcome." Mr. Kumar said, "We are grateful."
Nearly 80% of Oxford City Council housing tenants are satisfied with the services from their landlord, a survey claims to show. An annual satisfaction survey conducted by Acuity presented a 3% increase in satisfaction ratings for the council services in 2023 compared to the previous year. The survey collected feedback from 960 council tenants through phone interviews, which the council will use for the improvement and evaluation of its services. The findings show that 78% of council tenants are happy with the provided services. This result goes against the national trend reported by Acuity, which shows lower tenant satisfaction levels overall. Councillor Linda Smith, Cabinet Member for Housing, said, "We're encouraged by the overall increase in tenant satisfaction this year. It reflects our ongoing commitment to delivering high-quality services. While we celebrate the gains, we stay focused on areas where we can and will do better. Our aim is to ensure that Oxford remains a great place to live for all our tenants. Most tenants expressed satisfaction with repairs conducted over the past 12 months, as well as their fair and respectful treatment from the council. The council's communication, response time to repairs, and the safety of the tenants' homes also received high praise. The survey saw Oxford City Council ranking in the top quartile of social landlords for the majority of satisfaction measures. Acuity said, "Despite all the current challenges facing the sector, Oxford City Council has managed to achieve high levels of satisfaction with the overall services that they provide." However, the survey did identify areas in need of improvement, specifically the handling of antisocial behaviour and complaint resolution. Historically, dissatisfaction with the repair and maintenance services has been a prevailing issue amongst social housing tenants. But despite this, the overall satisfaction with such services has seen an increase from 79% to 83%. In light of the Grenfell Tower disaster and a recent case involving the death of a toddler due to exposure to mould at his home in Rochdale, the government is aiming to ensure higher social housing standards. The council is investing resources to meet new Regulator of Social Housing, RHS, standards, including the recruitment of a customer care and complaints manager. Efforts to integrate the complaint process into existing IT systems are also underway. The council's community safety team, along with Thames Valley Police, developed a successful strategy addressing antisocial behaviour and receiving feedback and tips to further improve their services. The council also aims to reduce the resolution time for antisocial behaviour cases, increase visits around the city, and enhance their response to hate-related abuse cases.
A dance and jazz band has entertained audiences with a two-hour performance at the Westgate Centre. Staged in Leyden Square, the Velvet Tones played to a crowd of shoppers and dancers outside the John Lewis store. The band hopes to perform soon with musicians from Oxford's Dutch twin city, Leyden, which the square is named after. The Velvet Tones play songs from Glenn Miller, Count Basie, and Frank Sinatra, among others. The band has a classic Count Basie lineup with five saxophones, four trombones, four trumpets, and a four-piece rhythm section of keyboard, guitar, bass, and drums. The band performs on the third Thursday of alternate months with a guest band at Oxford Golf Club. More information about the Velvet Tones can be found on their website.
Cheap car parking for shoppers at an Oxford college looks set to be banned by Oxford City Council. Since 2012, the City of Oxford College has been renting out 91 spaces at its college off Oxpens Road at weekends and during the college holidays. For £6, you can park all day on site, a much cheaper deal than the City Council's Oxpens car park opposite, where up to 3 hours parking costs £6.10. It costs £4.80 to park for 2 hours at the Westgate Centre. The college website says, "You can park your car at the City of Oxford College and enjoy a short 2 minute stroll into the heart of Oxford. Our Oxpens Road campus is open to the public for parking on Saturdays, Sundays and bank holidays during term time. And it's also open Mondays to Fridays during half term and holidays. Discover the affordable all day alternative to hourly rate car parks and limited stay parking at the weekend in Oxford. You can park for as long or as short a time as you like on Saturday or Sunday, and it's just £6 per visit per day. Payment is card only and you pay when you enter. Now, the college has been refused a certificate of lawful use and is expected to have to stop renting out the spaces unless it can appeal against the decision. The council has refused the application because, in fact, there was a condition attached to a previous planning application granted in March 2020, which precludes the use of the college car park to anyone other than staff and students. Discussions about parking have arisen as the college is planning to improve buildings on its site. Anna Railton, Cabinet Member for Zero Carbon Oxford and Climate Justice, said that the decision was consistent with the council's policies. She added, "People living in Abingdon Road, on my ward, are frustrated by buses being held up by cars queuing for the Westgate and this college car park, and I know they will welcome the decision. It's in line with our vision of how people should get around the city, by using public transport. The college car park has been undercutting the city council, in fact undercutting everybody." But Graham Jones of traders group Rocks said the decision was the latest heavy-handed anti-car measure in the city. He added, "Parking charges are horrific in Oxford, both on street and in the council car parks. More and more, instead of visiting Oxford, people will have to go instead to the market towns where there is some free parking." The college, run by Activate Learning, has confirmed that it has had its certificate of lawful use to run the car park at the City of Oxford College refused by Oxford City Council. A spokesperson said, "We are currently exploring our options to determine our next steps."
Blenheim Palace has a host of activities and events planned for Easter weekend. There is set to be an appearance from the Easter Bunny and a range of Easter-themed activities on offer at the Woodstock venue from March 29th to April 1st. There will be circus skills workshops, fairground rides, mini golf, face painting and balloon modelling. There will also be a dress-up tent, the chance to have a go at archery and an egg trail. The Palace has teamed up with luxury chocolatier Hotel Chocolate for a giant Easter egg hunt. The Palace said, "Parents can keep their little hoppers busy as they become egg-finding experts, answering the Easter-themed questions scattered across the Blenheim Palace grounds." Hotel Chocolate's Chocmobile will also be parked on site, serving their velvetised drinking chocolates, a range of coffee and tea, and its award-winning Jersey Milk Cacao Nib-infused Ice Cream of the Gods from March the 29th to April the 12th. Between March 29th and April the 14th, families can take part in the How to Train Your Dragon Trail, an interactive experience based on the popular children's book series by Cressida Cowell. This activity will take place at Adventure Play, which the Palace said is the biggest family-themed attraction in its history. It covers an area larger than a football pitch and celebrates the rich heritage of the Palace. For more information and to book tickets, visit the Blenheim Palace websites.
This week, Muslims in Oxford and around the world will start to abstain from food and drink from sunrise to sunset as the holy fasting month of Ramadan begins. Officials saw the crescent moon on Sunday night, March the 9th, in Saudi Arabia, home of the holiest sites in Islam, marking the start of the holy fasting month of Ramadan for many of the world's 1.8 billion Muslims. The sacred month, which sees those observing abstain from food and water from sunrise until sunset, marks a period of religious reflection, family get-togethers and giving across the Muslim world. Seeing the moon on Sunday night meant that Monday, the 11th, was the first day of the fast. Ramadan is the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. The month cycles through the seasons and the months in the Gregorian character. During Ramadan, those observing typically break their fast with a date and water, following the tradition set by the Prophet Muhammad. Then they will enjoy an iftar or large meal. They will have a pre-dawn meal or suhoor to sustain themselves during the daylight hours. Ahmed Qazi, an imam at Medina Masjid, Oxford, and a Muslim chaplain in a prison near Oxford, said, "The majority of Muslims who are healthy and fit will start to fast. It means we do not eat or drink, and married couples cannot have sexual relations during the daylight hours. The fast begins at 4:30 a.m. to about 6 p.m, so around 12 to 13 hours in which people fulfil one of the five pillars of Islam to bring themselves closer to God." Mr. Qazi added, "As well as the spiritual benefits of fasting, there are other benefits too." He said, "The hunger and thirst show how the less fortunate people around the world feel. There are people who don't have food in this day and age. How do we feel about them, and what can we do for them? The sharing and caring concept is revived through fasting. And in terms of health benefits, I'm sure doctors are also encouraging fasting for diet controls. But it is not just a diet control, it is a concept of worship. In terms of community in Oxford, the spirit of sharing is revived through the sharing of food and drink around and during the sunset meal, and for those who are homeless or needy or not even perhaps Muslims. Ramadan works on a lunar calendar, and moon sighting methodologies often vary between countries, meaning that some nations declare the start of the month earlier or later. Last Sunday night, the 9th, in Saudi Arabia, the kingdom had been urging the public to scan the skies in preparation for the crescent moon."
Fresh off their television success, a children's group has announced they will take their tour to Oxford's new theatre later this spring. Andy and the Odd Socks, Are You Ready to Rock? Show will be coming to the city on April the 14th. The children's group has entertained live audiences since their inaugural gig at Glastonbury in 2017. As they embark on a 14-day UK tour, fans are encouraged to wear odd socks to join in the festivities. Andy Day, a children's TV star from CBBC's Andy and the Band, alongside bandmates Moxie, Rio, Blue and Cousin Mac, have won audiences all over with their performances. Mr. Day said, "From pop socks to rock socks, Andy and the Odd Socks is about sock and roll, and is undeniably the best fun families can have together. This tour is one of those rare opportunities for kids and adults to enjoy a fantastic gig together, because this is a show created especially for them. But we want you to dump your dancing shoes and pull on your wildest, weirdest, wackiest odd socks to ensure you come prepared to dance." TV show Andy and the Band has seen high-profile guests, with Queen's Brian May appearing in his first acting role as the Godfather of Rock. Andy and the Odd Socks also promote the Anti-Bullying Alliance and initiated Odd Socks Day, a tribute to individuality participated in by more than 7 million school children annually.
The Peace of Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. The Morning Does Come by John O'Donoghue. This is the time to be slow. Lie close to the wall until the bitter weather passes. Try as best you can not to let the wire brush of doubt scrape from your heart all sense of yourself and your hesitant light. If you remain generous, time will come good, and you will find your feet again on fresh pastures of promise, for the air will be kind and blushed with beginning.
Plans to increase car parking charges for heavier vehicles have been branded anti-car. Oxford City Council Green Councillor Emily Kerr proposed a motion calling for the introduction of the increased costs for higher emitting and or heavier vehicles in Oxford. The change would follow in the footsteps of London boroughs such as Greenwich and Lewisham and cities like Bath that have emissions-based parking fees in place. Independent Temple Cowley ward councillor and taxi driver Sarge Malik said, "I think this is another war on car drivers and the economy of the city. It's an anti-car scheme. Oxford has a car history, and the message we're sending is to buy our cars but not drive them. I think all cars are equal." The motion, seconded by Lois Muddyman, states, "Larger cars cause more damage to our roads, are more likely to seriously injure or kill pedestrians, and take up more valuable public space. They're outgrowing the design of our cities, especially small medieval cities like Oxford." Mr. Malik said, "All fatalities have been caused by HGVs rather than SGVs, despite SGVs being referenced in the motion." Ms. Kerr said, "People choosing to drive small city cars should pay less. Cars are bloating and becoming bigger. In general, bigger cars are driven by richer people." When questioned about Mr. Mallett's comments, the St. Mary's ward councillor said, "We absolutely need to take action on HGVs. However, that is not relevant to this motion, which is about car parks owned by the City Council where HGVs do not park." She added that the danger aspect was only one part of the motion, which primarily discussed space taken up by the cars. "All cars are certainly not equal," Ms. Kerr added. There were also questions from Mr. Malik over larger families on potentially lower incomes needing a larger car. He said, "Not all bigger cars are driven by richer people. You can get a £1,500 SUV and that doesn't make you rich. We don't live in China where we ask people to have two children. There are also often sports teams and young children who use these car parks. I think this motion is absolutely useless if you ask me." Ms. Kerr said that details of the proposals and affected vehicles had not been finalised and exemptions would be considered as part of this. "If there are a lot of deprived young people driving enormous cars, that would be easy to fix," she concluded. Paris recently tripled charges for SUVs parking in the city. Charges to higher emitting vehicles in Bath were first considered by the Conservatives in 2018.
Some businesses in Oxford are trialling free, eco-friendly electric cargo bike deliveries within the city. Transport accounts for 68% of nitrogen oxide emissions in Oxford, making it the largest single contributor. The trial forms part of a 12-week scheme orchestrated by Oxford City Council and Velocity Cycle Couriers, with the goal of reducing carbon emissions and supporting the transition to a zero-carbon economy. Over the 12 weeks, Velocity's couriers will offer same-day and next-day zero-emission deliveries inside the Ring Road. The trial will see participating businesses, including the Oxford Cheese Company, Truck Oxford and U Underwear, explore an alternative to pollutant-heavy vehicle deliveries. Councillor Anna Railton, Cabinet Member for Zero Carbon Oxford and Climate Justice, said, "We know that businesses are keen to explore alternative ways to make deliveries to their customers. This exciting partnership not only encourages businesses to transition from car-based deliveries, but it also gives some businesses the chance to make deliveries for the first time. I'm looking forward to seeing how this trial works out for our fantastic independent businesses." The collaboration is an extension of a 2021 trial that saw Covered Market businesses experimenting with two electric cargo bikes. The council is subsidising the cost of the deliveries made using the electric bikes. Jake Swinnow, director of Velocity Cycle Couriers, said, "Working with the fabulous independent businesses in Oxford and finding sustainable solutions to their urban delivery challenges lies at the very heart of Velocity's courier services. Partnering with Oxford City Council is a great opportunity to allow business owners to find out how e-cargo bike deliveries can work for them." Small businesses around the city have expressed their support for the initiative, such as Sarah Jordan, CEO and founder of You Underwear. She said, "This partnership is an excellent opportunity for our business. It will really help us to reduce our carbon footprint and give us a much easier way to make deliveries to customers within the ring road." Carl Smithson, the store manager of Truck Oxford in Cowley Road, added, "It's great that we are now able to offer an environmentally friendly local courier delivery service for customers within the ring road. If a customer hears a song on the radio, if we've got the album in stock, they can order it through our online shop for next day or even same day delivery using this service." The initiative will be evaluated once it finishes at the end of May.
A rower who is set to compete for Cambridge in this year's boat race has said the event's appeal is down to its super primal nature. Luca Ferraro, a returning Cambridge rower, believes that people are drawn to the boat race to witness sport in its purest form. The 22-year-old classic student was part of the dominant light blue team that triumphed in last year's event. This victory marked the fourth Cambridge win in the past 5 years. Last summer, Mr. Ferraro was part of the men's eight that won the World Championship with Great Britain's under-23s. In the upcoming race, he will move from stroke to the seventh seat, marking his third boat race. He was among the 36 athletes recently named to the crews for the 78th women's race and the 169th men's race, which will take place on March the 30th. Mr. Ferraro said, "It really feels like a new race, a new group. The dynamic just changes so much every year, and that's part of the fun. I'm super excited to see if we can get out there and see if we can defend our title. Anything can happen on the day, so it's quite hard to prepare in that sense, other than just being prepared for anything. So I'm super excited to see what twists and turns will happen. Its appeal is so hard to pin down. It's that iconic university rivalry. It's Oxford. It's Cambridge. I really think that in a world where sport is so flashy, it's so high profile these days, there's so much money involved, the boat race is still sport at its purest form. It's almost Spartan. It's just you and the other guys, and you've got to go faster than them if you want to win. There's something super primal about it." Mr. Ferraro's Cambridge crew, who are defending their 2023 title, includes five returning men. Oxford has only one man remaining from the crew that was defeated last year. The rival teams are evenly matched in terms of the men's weigh-in, with Oxford achieving an average of 92 kilograms, just half a kilogram heavier than Cambridge. Despite Cambridge's six-year domination of the women's race, Oxford's Annie Sharp expressed confidence in her crew. Ms. Sharp said, "We had a really good season, really good vibes from day one. We're definitely excited to have the opportunity to go side by side and see what we can do." This year, the boat race will launch a behind-the-scenes YouTube series, drawing inspiration from other sports documentaries.
The Garden Year by Sarah Coleridge. January brings the snow, makes our feet and fingers glow. February brings the rain and thaws the frozen lake again. March brings breezes loud and shrill to stir the dancing daffodil. April brings the primrose sweet and scatters daisies at our feet. May brings flocks of pretty lambs skipping by their fleecy dams. June brings tulips, lilies, roses, fills the children's hands with posies. Hot July brings cooling showers, apricots and gillyflowers. August brings the sheaves of corn, and then the harvest home is born. Warm September brings the fruit, sportsmen then begin to shoot. Fresh October brings the pheasant, then to gather nuts is pleasant. Dull November brings the blast, then the leaves are whirling fast. Chill December brings the sleet, blazing fire and Christmas treat. A Song of the Weather by Flanders and Swann. January brings the snow, makes your feet and fingers glow. February's ice and sleet, freeze the toes right off your feet. Welcome March with wintry wind, would thou wert not so unkind. April brings the sweet spring showers, on and on for hours and hours. Farmers fear unkindly May, frost by night and hail by day. June just rains and never stops, 30 days and spoils the crops. In July the sun is hot. Is it shining? No, it's not. August, cold and dank and wet, brings more rain than any yet. Bleak September's mist and mud is enough to chill the blood. Then October adds a gale, wind and slush and rain and hail. Dark November brings the fog, should not do it to a dog. Freezing wet December then, bloody January again. Oxford has proved more popular worldwide than Ibiza, Naples or Budapest in internet searches. More people have been searching Oxford on Google than the trio of holiday destinations, according to Google Trends data. It is worth noting, however, that this is purely the term Oxford, so it could refer to the university, the football team, or even the shoe, the Oxford brogue. Yet, for whichever reason, the data for the 7 days up to 11 a.m. on Saturday, March the 4th, shows a major interest in Oxford across all the world. Overall, Oxford averaged 68 searches an hour in comparison to 47 for Budapest, 34 for Ibiza and 24 for Naples. This kind of dominance was also shown in the search history of Brazil, Mexico and the United Kingdom. In countries including Vietnam, India and South Africa, Oxford was a far more popular search term than some of the key summer holiday destinations. Out of all four destinations, Budapest, Naples, Ibiza and Oxford, Oxford made up 85% of all the searches. If the trends are to be followed, perhaps Oxford residents will not have to board a plane in order to get their riverboat tours, club nights and pizza.
The phrase 15-minute city has been dropped from a key city planning document due to fear of backlash. Oxford City Council has confirmed the words no longer feature in its local plan, which guide future development proposals. Some have questioned why the council has stopped using the term when they are technically splitting Oxford into 15-minute cities anyway. Independent Temple Cowley ward councillor Sarge Malik said, "I have a cynical view. They fear some backlash from residents, so they've stopped using this. When you look at the dimension of the 6 bus filters, it's clear the city has been split. I think what's seriously lacking between the public and the council is trust. They say one thing and do another. They can remove the word from the local plan, but people are wise enough and intelligent enough to see what's happening." Oxford City Council was approached for an explanation on why the phrase had been removed, but did not respond. A spokesman for the City Council emphasised the bus filters project is a county council scheme. Green Councillor Emily Kerr of the St Mary's ward said she thinks the concept of 15-minute cities is a really powerful one. She added, "It gives people facilities in their area they can walk to. I'm very keen for Magdalen Road to be designated as a local centre, and we have campaigned as a Green Party to keep it this way. I really want local centres to be protected for local people. I think they're quite important, and I feel quite strongly about it. Miss Kerr added she didn't understand how local centres had been designated if the 15-minute city phrasing had been removed. I really can't speculate. If they've got new criteria, that might help with Magdalen Road. I think absolutely 15-minute cities have been confused in the public eye. Duncan Enright, Oxfordshire County Council's previous cabinet member for travel and development strategy, went on record in 2022 saying the filters that stopped most motorists driving through Oxford city centre would divide the city into six 15-minute neighbourhoods. Mr Enright told the Sunday Times, "It's about making sure you have the community centre which has all of those essential needs, the bottle of milk, pharmacy, GP, schools, which you need to have a 15-minute neighbourhood." A talk from the mastermind behind this planning concept, Carlos Marino, was given on February the 29th at Oxford University. He spoke about his passion to share insights and engage in meaningful discussions. The professor has suggested in previous interviews that he has received violent death threats for his misinterpreted concept. A joint statement from Oxfordshire County Council and Oxford City Council in 2023 said, "Residents will still be able to drive to every part of the city at any time, but in the future, during certain times of the day, you may need to take a different route if you want to travel by car. The traffic filters work in exactly the same way as the existing traffic cameras in the high street and are widely used in cities across the UK to manage congestion and support public transport. The reason we propose these changes is because, as everyone who lives and visits Oxford knows, the city has had awful congestion for decades. This is damaging both to our economy and our environment and is making the bus network unviable."
This week, we bring you two memories in John Chipperfield's Memory Lane. Firstly, a photograph of 11 men in a variety of odd clothes, one with a white curly wig and another with a clown makeup face, looking like a comedy team preparing to take it to the stage and entertain an audience at a theatre. But nothing could be further from the truth. They were a team of footballers preparing to raise money for a good cause. The beneficiaries were to be young patients in the Children's Intensive Care Unit at the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford. The men were preparing to take on a team of women on the 9 acres football pitch at Charlbury, near Whitney, on a Sunday afternoon in 1989. What's more, the 11-strong men's side started with a huge disadvantage. There were no fewer than 21 women, also in fancy dress, taking the field to take them on. As one male spectator observed, "I wouldn't dream of going out there and having my legs and ankles wrapped, but it was great fun and for a worthy cause." Despite the uneven numbers, the men stood up well against the challenge and the game ended even with a 10-10 draw. However, the women's team had the last laugh. They won the game on penalties, scoring 3 to the men's 2. Everyone agreed it had been a great afternoon with £1,000 being raised through sponsorship and donations to the hospital. Rob Tudge organised the men's team and Julie Downer recruited the women's team. Sadly, we know the names of only 2 others who took part, David Harbod and his fiancée Julia Balshaw.
A tree sculpture in a Headington park is set for a transformation into a playground feature later this spring. The storybook tree sculpture in Bury Knoll Park had been taken down for safety reasons due to the decay of its tree trunk plinth. It depicts characters like Smaug the dragon and Aslan the lion from the books of Oxford's renowned authors J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. The initial idea of replacing the plinth was scrapped due to high costs and the fact that there was also decay in the sculpture itself. The costs could not be justified, given that the decay left the sculpture with little life left. The sculpture will now be redesigned as a climbing log for children, in addition to the park's Narnia-themed play equipment. Councillor Chu Munkogi, Cabinet Member for Leisure and Park, said, "It's great to have found a new purpose for the sculpture that keeps it within the park, allowing children to engage in active play while nature gracefully takes back this organic masterpiece. Its distinctive form lends itself perfectly to this purpose, and the mythical creatures carved into it are sure to captivate children, inspiring imaginative play. As the storybook tree sculpture evolves into a playground feature, Berry Knoll Park continues to be a place where creativity and play intertwine, offering a magical experience for all who visit. The upcoming transformation is a way to not only keep alive a treasured artwork from the park's past, but also provide an interactive setting for the younger parkgoers. The tree was felled on December the 9th last year, at a time when fears around the safety of the tree were heightened following the death of a 19-year-old man who was killed by a falling tree in a park in Oxford a month earlier. The storybook tree was sculpted in 2005 from the trunk of a dead cedar tree. It was the idea of Bowood Tree Surgery in Longhanborough, which did not want to fully remove the tree. Concerns about the tree's decay were first raised in 2012. In 2007, the tree was given an environmental award by the Oxford Preservation Trust. It was initially commissioned by Headington Action, and youngsters gathered round it for stories in summertime. Berry Knoll Park is located in Headington and, as well as being the home of the storybook tree sculpture, serves as a hub for the community and offers play facilities, tennis courts and a sensory garden.
Our second Memory Lane article asks us to remember the days when our children told us, "There's nothing to do around here. We're bored." And youth clubs in many parts of the county helped to fill the gap, providing activities for bored teenagers. 27 members at Didcot Youth Centre took part in a 12-hour dance marathon in 1976 to raise money for Age Concern. The centre warden, Michaela Robbins, said, "There was a marvellous atmosphere while the event was going on. Other club members came to support their friends, and parents came as well." A rock musical about youngsters growing up together was written in and staged by members of Aynsham Youth Club in 1989. It was called From Them to Us, with youth leader Nick Luxmore telling prospective audiences, "It's based around the development of a group of friends." Members of Greyfriars Youth Club in Oxford dressed appropriately when they organised a tramps ball to mark their first anniversary in 1969. Members had had a successful first year, raising money to buy 3 table tennis tables, a tape recorder for continuous disco music, and a large stock of refreshments. The club's monthly dances had attracted leading local pop groups, and it had just recruited its 51st member, Radio 1 disc jockey Tony Brandon. Dorchester Abbey Youth Club were celebrating their first anniversary too. A friar at the Abbey in 1962 called a meeting to form a youth club and was surprised when 40 youngsters turned up. A year later, there were 55 youngsters celebrating their club's first year. In 1981, 4 members of Kennington Youth Club took part in a 24-hour pool marathon and raised £250 for a charity and club funds. In 1971, 4 members of Kidlington Youth Club played 226 games of varying kinds at the opening of the £35,000 Youth Club in 1971. The boys were rewarded with a fry-up of bacon and eggs when they had finished their marathon.
That was the last news item for this week. If you have any comments or feedback regarding the OxTalk service, please do not hesitate to contact us. You can either send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk, that's mail, M-A-I-L, @oxtalk.org.uk.
oxfordset.org.uk or telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. That's 07496 062 280. There are several ways to listen to Oxtalk. As usual, we send out USB memory sticks in yellow packets to listeners. You can listen to this week's recording along with the entire back catalogue going back to 2007 at oxtalk.org.uk. That's www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can listen to the recordings straight away or download them for later listening. You can also listen on a smart speaker. Thank you for listening.